Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And I'm dressed as Minnie Mouse. And I don't really know what Deep T is. What does your shirt say?
First of all, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
It literally just says...
Six Sad World.
Six Sad World, but it has a ghost on it, so it's festive.
Six Sad World.
Hey, we just need to let our pod besties know I was wearing this and I made Natalie go change.
It's true.
Can you believe it's already Halloween? Like, it just seems crazy that time is passing by so fast. Like, there's literally 2 months left.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that 2025 is coming in 2 months. I feel like I have accomplished nothing.
Well, you accomplished 50-some episodes of this podcast.
Oh, that's true. That is true. But still, like, if I could really think back on this year and think about, like, what I've accomplished, I can't think of one thing. But I'm not a big fan of Halloween, to be honest. It's just not my sort of holiday. It doesn't give me that, like, cozy feel, like... You know, like the winter seasons do, or even when, you know, we decorate for Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. like just Halloween just doesn't do it for me.
Honestly, I just have to say you probably don't like Halloween because you dress up all year round because you do weird shit all the time. Didn't like the other day I get a FaceTime from her and she's dressed like, who's it? Marge Simpson. And I freaked out. I was like, what is happening?
And she picks up the FaceTime. She goes, what? The fuck.
It was a jump scare. And the fact that you were also FaceTiming me from the Uber, I was like, your poor Uber driver, he's probably so terrified.
Well, I asked him and I was like, do you know who I'm dressed up as? And he goes, no,
I wouldn't either.
And I was like, oh, you don't watch The Simpsons? He goes, nope. And I was like, okay. And I was like, cool.
Pod besties, she literally committed so hard to this costume. You had yellow paint on your face.
No, I'm going to post it. I'm going to post it before this episode drops. And you guys will know how committed I was to looking like Marge Simpson. And you know where I got the idea? After I called that mean driver Homer Simpson. You know how we talked about it last week where the driver was yelling at me.
Yep.
Because even though I had the right of way to cross the pedestrian crosswalk.
The fact that that's what inspired you makes me really happy, actually.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm proud of you for that. You're creative.
I really do find inspiration in all the wrong places. But here I am.
Whereas here I am. Like, I will not even dress up for your birthday for wig holiday. No,
oh,
thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I'm like, this is the best I'm going to do.
You were the worst. So on my 30th birthday 2 years ago. I had a wig themed birthday where everyone wore different colored wigs. Guess who didn't wear a wig?
That's false. I wore the wig for at least 30 minutes.
Okay, that's true.
I just didn't want to wear it in public because purple hair and me just don't go well together. You see the skin tone?
Okay, she did commit for the first 30 minutes when we were at my house.
Appreciate
for the
that.
First portion of my birthday party, and then we went out during the day and she immediately took it off.
I had to.
And I was like, you look like the loser.
Listen, I was the loser growing up, so I can't do things like that because I am insecure.
Okay, well, I can't really.
See, you can't argue with that logic.
well, you know, you win some, you lose some. Can I tell you something that I did for the first time ever? And it really was the highlight of my week.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, I already told you this, so I'm really telling your pod besties. You know exactly
what
I'm about to say.
Damn, you called me
out. Well, you don't know exactly what I'm about to say, but I think you know.
I think I know because you called me.
Yeah. Obviously, I immediately texted and called Deep D like 20 times after this happened. But I was on a run last Saturday, and an elderly Chinese couple, they stopped me. They were like waving their hands and they needed my help. And I think they stopped me because they thought I was Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Chinese. I'm Korean. And they needed directions to somewhere. But could not understand them. They did not speak any English. And so I allowed them to just follow me so that we could find someone who might be able to help. I did download like 20 translation apps on my phone.
Google Translate didn't work for you, right?
No, because first, I don't have a Chinese keyboard on my phone. And the older man of this elderly couple, he had an old phone. Mm-hmm. So it didn't have a keyboard on it.
This is where those new Ray-Bans come into play. Have you seen them?
No.
Just a quick little tangent. There's new Ray-Bans out. And while people are talking to you, it translates it for you and like displays it on your glasses.
Well, I wish I had that in this moment. That would have been very helpful.
But yes, continue.
But there was just no way I could understand what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find any app that could like had a microphone that could pick up what he was saying, but none of them worked. It was so frustrating. So anyways, we're walking around and I see a man finally who looks Chinese. And so I was like, hey, do you speak Chinese? And he goes, yes, yes, I do. And I was like, follow me. Like, come on. I'm leaving a lot of details of the story out. It's very complicated, but essentially at one point the older couple like walked away from me, realizing like I could not help. And anyway, so I grabbed this Chinese man and we're running after this couple, and he's able to translate. He goes, they need to go to the bus station to Chinatown. Mm. We have a Chinatown here in Chicago. And I was like, I know exactly how to get there, where the bus station is. I was like, thank you so much. The older couple wants to keep talking to this man. I think it's because, you know, he could understand them. Yeah. And they're some older. Yeah. Yeah. There. And he goes, I'm so sorry. Like, I have an interview, like a really big interview. So I have to go. And I was like, that's weird, but it makes sense because he was in a suit, but weird that he has an interview on a Saturday. As I was walking this elderly couple to the bus station to Chinatown, I kept thinking about this guy. Like, I could not get him out of my head.
I love when you called me, you were like, it was love at first sight, DT. I was like, whoa, okay.
I know, I was like, love is not blind.
No, love is very much blind because you had to see him to fall.
Exactly. Well, anyways, so I dropped them off at the bus station and old me would have never done this, but I just felt really compelled to go find this man and give him my number. So I go back to where I met him and it was outside of a hotel. So I go in the hotel. I ask the front desk person, did you see an Asian man in a suit?
So descriptive. Walk in here?
And she goes, ma'am, look around. And I look around and the entire place is filled with Asian men in suits.
You're like, he's this tall.
And she's just like, I'm going to need a little bit more. And I was like, a black suit. And she's like, ma'am.
Like, what color tie?
And so I guess there was some conference happening at the hotel. And I was like, okay, like, this is done.
Yeah.
But I write a note anyways. I go like, thank you so much for your help. Here's my number. I'd love to repay you somehow or like take you out for a cup of coffee. I feel awful that I stopped you on the way to an interview. Mm-hmm.
Did you put pheromones on it like Taylor did?
I know. I should have like rubbed my running sweat all over it and like give it back. But as I'm giving this like letter/card I wrote on back to the receptionist, I see him very far away. I see him walking towards the entrance of this hotel. Mm-hmm. And I go like, that's him. Dude. Give it to him. And then I run out. And that's it.
Like fate. That is fate.
I know. This was a long ass story.
It wasn't that long, I promise.
Anyways, the next day he texts me. He's like, you don't need to repay me. Like, I have, you know, grandparents that are the same age as, you know, the couple that we helped. I do this all the time. It's fine. But we end up going on a coffee date.
So cute.
Yeah, it was so cute. But I find out that he wasn't part of the conference with all those Asian men. Like, I don't know what was happening there. But he isn't local to Chicago. So there was another conference for an ophthalmology conference. And he is a resident, an ophthalmology resident. And he was in town for that conference. And he was interviewing for fellowships.
Yeah.
And so he was interviewing at that hotel with, I think, another school. So yeah, so I don't know. We're still talking and texting. I feel like it'll go nowhere considering
you never know.
He doesn't live here in Chicago.
This story sounds like a cute like start to a rom-com movie.
I felt like I was in a rom-com.
Yeah, especially I can't even picture you like hiding from him as soon as he walks back. You're like,
I know, I could not believe it. I could not believe that like I found him in that moment. I thought it was like divine intervention. No, like, that's fate led me to this point.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we're texting, I was like, where does this go, right? I guess where I'm trying to go with this story is I feel like as I get older, I now realize it's so important to take chances and do the things you want to do. And it's okay if you get rejected or something doesn't work out. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm so glad I left him my number, even though he may have gotten it and realized, like, I'm not texting her.
Yeah.
Like, at least I took the effort to do something I wanted to do.
Yeah. I always say this, like, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. Yeah. And I think oftentimes we don't put ourselves out there, and like you think that just sitting on your couch or like not going out is going to get you like your partner, but it's not. You sometimes you do have to put yourself out there, and I'm so proud of you to do that. Yeah. Because who cares if it's a no or it's a rejection or you never see him again? Fine, great. But if you do, then like it could change everything. And you know what? That also makes me think about location. Like geographically, do you have to be in the same city? Because oftentimes we're put in this bubble, right? And Chicago, as you know, is the worst dating bubble ever.
Yeah.
It's the worst to date here. I mean, I haven't dated here in like 3 years, so I don't know exactly what that looks like.
What do you mean?
But what I've heard is...
Oh, please. She's lying.
Well, seriously, I haven't dated
much. DD gets hit on more than any woman I know.
But I don't really date, though.
That's true.
That's a little different, right? Gets hit on more than... No, I do not.
Yes, every time we're out, some man wants Deep D's number. And I was like, didn't you see her choose herself on the show?
I'm done with you.
She's not going to choose you.
But what if our person is not in Chicago? I think about that so often. And there's like always these cute quotes about it that are like, if you feel the call to move, it might be your soulmate calling for you.
Let me assess to see if I feel the need to move. I don't.
I don't know. I think about that often. Like what if my person's like in London or Colorado? I've been like itching to move to Colorado lately.
He's probably there then, but definitely my person is not in New Orleans.
What I'm trying to tell you though is you're ending the story with saying, oh, it's probably not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like you need to don't have that line of thought because just because he's somewhere else doesn't mean you can't make it work. Yes, long distance sucks, but...
After I did long distance with New York boy, I feel like I feel like I can't do it again.
Yeah.
You know? And also, I hate saying like as I'm getting older, but truly as I'm getting older, I know that I want to be here. Like mm-hmm. my entire family is based here. I love now spending time with family and I don't think I would move. Mm-hmm. But regardless, I do feel like also as I get older, I realize I understand the saying now where they say like, what is it? No means, what is your saying?
Oh, if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
Yeah. If you don't ask, the answer is always no.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say,
what?
I thought you were going to say, oh yeah, I also understand your thing of my person could be in another country or in New Orleans. And then you said that, I was like, oh. Well then.
You're like, well, I guess I did not
convince her. Goodbye to that man.
But I totally get that phrase now.
No,
I totally get it. Like,
I love it.
I used to never understand it. I was like, that's just a saying. Like, easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
But now it feels really good when I take chances. Even if I get rejected or it doesn't work out, I was like, it just feels good that I took that chance to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'm also like more shameless now, but I'm okay when someone says no to me.
We have been rejected so many times that we're good with it now.
Well, speak for yourself.
I'm just kidding. Oh, that's hilarious. Well, speaking of saying yes to things, the other day I went to the doctor and my doctor was an Indian lady and she was like, you are such a nice Indian girl. I'm going to set you up with some of my friend's sons. And my immediate thought was immediately no.
There's You're like, no, I'm good. I'm good.
But then you know what? I said yes because if you don't ask, the answer is always no. Well, she did that. But I was like, you know what? What if there is a cute little Indian man? The universe keeps pushing Indian men onto me. Lately.
I know. The first one wasn't great, but
not great at all.
You never know. The second, it could only go up from he who must not be named.
You are so right. It can only go up. It can only go up. Okay. Well, should we get into this recap?
Yes.
Wow.
People are like, this is why we're listening.
Come on, we don't care about your personal life. Okay, but seriously though, this finale
was boring.
Thank you. I forwarded through a lot of it.
Same. I forwarded through a lot of it too. And then I was like, oh man, I forgot we had a recap on this podcast. So I went back and rewatched it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The fact that there's only two people left in the I Do crew.
I know.
I'm done. Like, this season is a disaster.
I can't believe they fit so much in one episode. That's how you know that they're like, the editors and producers are like, we're over it. It's okay. Done.
In my opinion, though, how is it possible that they had an hour and 20 minute episode for two couples, two weddings?
Well, plus one breakup and bachelor and bachelorette parties.
I forgot about the bachelor and bachelorette parties.
Well, it was
very
short.
Did I forward through it? I think I forwarded.
No, really. And like, I blinked my eyes twice and we went from Marissa and Ramses to the weddings. I was like,
no, we really, you're right. I totally forgot about that middle part where, you know, Tyler was actually pretty good at basketball.
Poor I know. Garrett. I was going to say, poor Garrett, not his forte.
Also, I was thinking, do you think everybody in that stadium signed an NDA because they announced that it was Love is Blind?
That's what I was thinking too. They announced, please welcome from Netflix's Love is Blind, Tyler and Garrett. And I was like, was that leaked last year?
Yeah.
Like, someone must have been taking a video.
And you know that people probably leaked it to Reddit if that happened.
But remember when they filmed, which is in October 2023, mm-hmm. I feel like it might have been leaked. Like, someone might have been like, they're filming here in Washington, D.C. But I feel like no one cares until the show actually comes out because, like, no one's invested in these people.
I just thought that they would, like, somebody would say something then. But yeah. I guess it doesn't really matter. It doesn't make big news. But
yeah.
I was like, oh, interesting. It was a really sad
Probably watch. The people that were there, they're like, only two of them? They're like, what kind of season is this? I know the people at that game, they're like, we're not watching this season.
They knew ahead of time. They got the spoiler alert. Not a good season.
Only two of them. Only two men, really. I'm going to be like, and one of them sucks at basketball.
Oh my gosh, I was just about to say that. Yeah.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Okay, should we start with Marissa and Ramses? Like, honestly, I just think to myself, how did we get to this conversation?
That was the worst breakup I've ever seen on a TV show.
I agree. I felt heartache through the screen because I think at one point or another, we have felt what Marissa's feeling, and it is like heart-wrenching. It was so sad. I was like crying with her. Oh my gosh, it was I felt so sad. I just wanted to give her a big hug.
No, seriously, for all the things that they decided not to share on screen, like all their fights, this is what they decide to share. I was like, really?
Of all the things.
Like, truly.
Honestly, I don't know what happened. I need your thoughts. What did you think about this whole breakup?
I was very confused. I didn't realize Marissa's energy was a big deal because I feel like their scenes leading up to this point, she wasn't high energy because she was sick. Mm-hmm. Also, I couldn't tell if he was breaking up with her like forever, mm-hmm. or he was trying to say like, we just can't be married. Like, you know, like I was like, what are you saying? You just are completely done with her, or you're just not ready for marriage and need more time to date?
Okay, that's so interesting because that thought didn't even cross my mind that they would ever continue dating. For me, it felt like a full-on breakup just because of the way she was like so heartbroken and just like calling her mom saying like, it hurts so bad. Oh, that brought me so much pain for her. But you know what's interesting is his excuse of saying, oh, it's because of your energy. To me, it felt like a complete cop-out.
Yes.
Because in the pods, obviously we know she like said oh, a lot of men like think that I have a lot of energy, but 3 months later, they like kind of get sick of it. I felt like he weaponized that and used it as an excuse to get out of this relationship. I mean, I don't know what else it could be, but like, to me, after this scene, it felt like Ramses never even wanted to get married.
That's what I thought too. It's so weird how he completely changed his mind. I thought maybe his unsatisfaction with the lack of physical intimacy during filming had to do something with him, but he just couldn't say that.
Yeah.
Just because that was obviously a fight that they had in the previous episodes. So yeah. I don't know, but look, you know what? I'm so glad he broke up with her in this scene versus on their wedding day. How were you feeling when Marissa is asking Ramses, like, are you sure? Are you sure about breaking up with her?
Honestly, I felt very proud of her for doing that because I think a lot of people online, I'm seeing them say, oh, like she's begging him to stay. No, I think she's clarifying his feelings and trying to understand what has changed. I think it actually shows a lot of emotional maturity to be like, hey, like, is this for sure? Like, are you just like having a moment of doubt in your mind? Because we all go through that in relationships and sometimes a conversation can change that. And I decided I feel this way after I saw Marissa's TikTok about this. And she's like, I'm not begging him to say, what would you want me to do? Like, you want me to just like say, okay, buddy, thank you. Thank you for your time. Bye. You know, it's like, I think one last conversation is owed. And it's not begging to just be like, hey, like what happened? Give me something tangible to work with and like, let's talk about it. Like, are you sure?
At first I was like, Marissa, stand up, walk out of that room. But I totally get it. Like, imagine if you're blindsided, like you are engaged to someone, you're getting ready for your wedding day. Mm-hmm. Like you are prepping for it. You are planning this wedding and then they just break up with you. Like, of course you're going to ask, like, are you sure? Mm-hmm. Because you're not sure, like, is he confused? Is he just having cold feet? Like, you know, she was fully in love with this man. Yeah. So I think as much as like I would like to think, and I'm sure other viewers would like to think, if I was in her shoes, I'd be like, bye, see you, fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that we would actually act that way in the moment.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I think I felt like I just wanted to hug Marissa in this scene because it was such raw emotion and you rarely get to see that on television like that, I think. And I know if it were me, I'd like put on a brave face and then like grow breakdown later. But for her to show all of that emotion to us, I think, I don't know, it just like, you can tell that she's just like really hurt by the situation and it's not begging. I think it's like what we would normally do if this happened to us in real life and not on a TV show. You know what I mean? But if we're watching the television show, you're like, no, stand up for yourself and just walk out there with your head held high, you know?
Yeah.
But in reality, we would be the ones like actually crying like that.
You know what really hurts me is that he had time to tell her beforehand, before breaking up with her in such a public way, that he was going to break up with her. I know, you know, even we've complained and I know a lot of viewers complained during the season, like, we never saw the fight. Like, how come we didn't see the fight? We don't have the context. But for this, I wish he gave her the heads up. Mm-hmm. Maybe he did. I don't know. But the way she broke down, I feel like he didn't. And I was like, what a selfish fucking prick.
No, I know. Something about him is just off. How do you just like change your mind so quickly and then blame it on the energy? Like, I don't understand where he's like, there's certain things that you can't get around. It's about my energy and your energy coexisting. I'm like, okay, bro.
If someone broke up with me the way he did, I'd be like, just spit it out. What are you trying to say? I need bullet points.
Which is exactly why I loved when she's like, can you just give me something tangible to work with? Like, what are some examples? And he's like, the energy.
The energy in her universe just isn't aligning. I'd be like,
okay, first of all,
I'd be like, leave right now.
From somebody who loves lingo like that, I'm pissed too. I'm like, don't you fucking use the energy thing on me right now.
Also, before anyone says it, because people are, I just know someone's going to be like, well, Natalie, you said no at the altar and Shane didn't know. I told Shane 60 times.
I think I told him, who says that to you?
I told him 30 times via text, 2 days leading up to our wedding. I even texted him the day of our wedding. I told his mom. My mom told his mom. I told his friends. My mom even told his friends. He was very much aware, along with at least his immediate family, I was saying no. So I'm just putting it out there. Like, you can do that, okay?
That was a good clarification. Also, there's something going around on TikTok that we have to clarify. Everyone thinks that in this breakup scene, Ramses is wearing a thong. And I just need to tell them, as much as I would love for him to be wearing a thong and the cameraman being like, yes, he is, it's a mic pack. That's the black thing around his waist is a mic pack.
Why does it look like there's a piece of cloth going down his butt crack?
It does, but you can see his actual like underwear that he's wearing is red, and then there's black pants on top, and then it's a battery mic pack.
I really thought it was a thong, and if it was a thong, I was like, this man is not a feminist, because what kind of feminist supports thongs? Do you think women love having a cloth between their butt cheeks?
Some do. Some definitely do.
DB's like, I do not.
But some definitely
I'm just saying, like, who invented thongs? Like, if you're a real feminist, you do not support thongs at all, okay?
I hate thongs just as much as you do. But I think underwear lines is where women are like, absolutely not. I will wear a string.
How is it that men are able to have underwear lines and women can't? Look, if you're a real feminist, if Ramses was a real feminist, he'd be supporting granny panties.
Oh, Ramses. But I wish he was wearing a thong, though, so they could get... Well, a lot of people still think that, so I'll let them.
I still think that.
I'll let them, actually.
I couldn't tell if it was like a bodysuit or a thong.
It's definitely a mic pack, though, because obviously the men didn't have things to put around. We would usually get them like on our bras or dress or something.
I do remember one time I was wearing sticky boobs, you know, the adhesive bra, mm-hmm. and I did get one of those, like something that went around my waist,
yes.
Or near my hips at least for the mic. So that makes sense.
Yeah, that's why I was like, wait a minute, what is that?
I think that little thing that looks like it's going in his butt crack is actually a wire.
A wire.
That is going into his butt crack.
Which is worse, a string or a wire?
I do wish that they shared more of the audio of the phone call with Marissa's mom when Marissa calls her mom afterward, mm-hmm. because I was like, I'm dying to know what she said when Marissa shares that Ramses broke up with her.
I know. They made it seem like she was kind of quiet.
Yeah.
But I think that was definitely editing, because you know Marissa's mom's like, that mother. You're like just going off on him. Like,
I'm going to cut his balls.
Yes. But honestly, she did call it, though. She saw through that bullshit right away. You were right when you said earlier, I'm so happy that he did it now versus on the wedding day or even later. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's like an interesting character to me. Like, I don't understand him.
It just sucks that she wasn't given a heads up to get her emotions in place, because that scene will live on Netflix for a long time. I know I would feel so sad about it. So she actually did an interview with Glamour magazine that came out recently, and she shared a lot of information. She says in this interview that she has rheumatoid arthritis, which is an autoimmune disease. And she says, and this is her exact words, mm-hmm. I tend to get sick and my body hurts and I don't want to be touched. And there's been a few times before that where he's petting me and I'm overstimulated. I have ADHD. I get overstimulated physically. And I'm like, you can touch me. Just don't rub me in that moment. And she also says that she shared this with him in the pods. What was super interesting too in this interview is she said she viewed the conversations about sex and military differently than the viewers. Like, she didn't think that they were game changers at the time.
Interesting.
And also he was 100% all in on getting married before that breakup scene. So that's what he told her 2 days prior.
Yeah. So, okay. That makes sense as to why she's like so heartbroken and distraught over it, because to me, it seems like they've had conflict up until that point. Maybe not like marriage ending or like engagement ending conflict, but it was interesting how she was so upset, and because she was like, everything was fine 2 days ago. So if 2 days ago he's like, we're still gonna get married, like I'm still on board, and then one conversation with a family member changes his mind, is like very interesting to me.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city.
From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And this says a lot about how Ramses feels about Marissa. So she goes on to say in this interview that she offered to not get married. They could just date on their own timeline, but it was a hard no from him. And she also asked him several months later to see if they could continue dating, and he still said no.
Wow.
So he was just like done with her. Like after the scene, they're just done.
I wonder what happened. Like what made him like completely go do a full 180?
Because don't you feel like if a couple really likes each other, even if they decide that they aren't getting married on the show, they they continue dating like Shane and I did.
Yeah, or even just like staying friends at least, or not to be like weird, but like hook up, because you just kind of still have residual feelings for that person. And for him, it just seems like he kind of just cut it off completely.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The fact that 2 days prior to this, he was like, I'm all in, we're getting married. And then all of a sudden it's no, but also like, I don't want to be in a relationship with you at all.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if he just had a wake-up call or if something happened, or to be honest, he was kind of faking it.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't pinpoint it, but I do have to say, like, I'm glad he came to that conclusion. It could be that he was, like, pretending everything is okay, like he actually said. He's like, you know, even though there were certain things that were not like good in our relationship, I kept brushing it to the side. Maybe it is accurate that he was doing that. In doing that, though, he obviously hurt Marissa. He could have just done it earlier and said, this is just not going to work for me, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's hard. Some of what he says, I'm like, okay, like, I guess I can understand where you're coming from, but it seems like there's a deeper meaning to it, you know?
You know what? He did the best thing for her. Absolutely. Because I feel like she was seeing beyond all these red flags, and I think it would have taken her a really long time to walk away on her own. And I'm so glad he walked away from her, because he does not deserve her in the slightest. She is so much better than him. He needs tons of therapy in my eyes. He thinks he is morally superior than everyone. Yes. And he just, oh, gives me the ick. So goodbye, Ramses. To be honest, I'm so glad I didn't see your wedding, because I couldn't take another scene with him.
I am just so happy for Marissa, because I said this from the very beginning when we started recapping. I love Marissa's energy, and she's going to find somebody who matches that and loves all of her, whether it's tired or super energetic, whatever it is, they're going to love all of her. And I'm just so happy this man is gone.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what he says at the reunion.
Oh, yeah. But it sounds like that they are friendly now, which I think is always
a ploy.
Yes. But I also feel like it's always the best to kind of be very cordial with your partner from the show, because it's such an overwhelming time. And I feel like if it starts becoming a media war like Shane and I had when our season came out, it's just like so stressful, and I feel like it's just not worth it. So actually, a pod bestie went to a watch party that was hosted by Marissa and Bowden.
Yes.
If you guys remember Bowden, which was Marissa's other connection in the pods. And our pod bestie saw Ramses there. And she said that Ramses and Marissa were very friendly. So it sounds like there isn't a lot of bad blood. Though I will say, you guys need to check out this interview she did with Glamour, because there's a lot more in there. And, you know, she does say, like, my mom probably did sense his bullshit and, you know, all this stuff. So it's very interesting just hearing her point of view.
I saw a clip of that watch party, and I heard that Ashley and Tyler were also there, which is interesting. But let's get into Tyler and Ashley. I mean, there's not a lot going on with this couple.
Well, not on screen, but outside of the show, it's a shit show.
Oh, man. Okay. I just have to point out that obviously there's a lot happening on social media with Tyler and his three kids, alleged sperm donor kids. But it is crazy to me how many times making babies or having babies for Tyler and Ashley like came up in all of these scenes.
Yeah, during their wedding. I was shocked that his friends and family were joking about that with him because I'm like, they all know that he has three kids. Yeah. So last week's recap episode was recorded before Tyler's baby mama dropped this 5-part series on her Instagram about, you know, Tyler and his kids and the whole situation. So her name is Bree Thomas. And she says that she is or was Tyler's best friend, and he decides to be a sperm donor for Bree and her wife at the time, now ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And so Bree's wife left her near the end of her pregnancy. And after she gave birth, Tyler texted Bree asking to be a father to their firstborn because he didn't want his child to grow up in a single mother household like he did. Again, this is a summary of Bree's words. And then later on, they had twins. And this wasn't a donating sperm situation. Like they had intercourse and had twins. Bree said they even lived together for a year raising their three kids, which means he was like a very active father.
Yeah, if they lived together.
Yeah. So the last time Tyler had seen the kids, according to Bree, is the day before he left for filming, which was September 30th, 2023. He did call her after he returned from Mexico, but was giving excuses to not see the kids. Mm-hmm. And then that was that.
She said, yeah, he called to say I'm alive. And that was pretty much it.
She shares a lot more, but that's pretty much kind of like the main points. And he's gross.
Honestly, also, though, I do have to say, watching this video, and I get it, not everyone is like a social media person to where they're not reading off of something, but like it felt like it was very like a little bit scripted, or like she was reading off of something in her video.
But I feel like you have to get all your facts straight. Like, I don't think anyone can just talk to a video and like, this is this.
I mean, okay, I'm not gonna like give her too much shit for that, honestly, but I don't know. I think where my head is at also is there's a lot of stuff also coming out that her ex-wife is saying, and it kind of fills in some of the gaps of Bree's story. So that's where I'm like, oh my God, I feel like there's so much more to this story. But also, I feel like Tyler just needs a whole reunion episode for himself because this is a lot and he sucks.
I think regardless of what really happened, right? Like, I totally get it. You know, his baby mama, like Bree, you know, might be leaving out some details. Mm-hmm. And I've also seen like Bree's ex-wife is saying things where, you know, she's saying that Bree isn't being truthful. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, regardless of what is happening there and the details of that, he still lied that his kids didn't know what he looked like. Yeah. Like, he was really trying to muddle the truth.
I agree.
Not even muddle the truth. Straight up lie. Mm-hmm. Like, change the details.
Yeah.
When Ashley asked.
Yeah. And honestly, the only people that are going to be so hurt by all of this is those three kids.
I know.
And it's like, who cares about Tyler, Bree, or Ashley, or the ex-wife? It's really these kids that are going to be traumatized if they learn about this in the future, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Like, if they do a quick Google search, like, I don't know how old his kids are, but I know that if I was one of those kids and I found out one of my parents were on a really popular reality TV show, I would Google them 10 years from now. Like, yeah. If I found out my dad was on a reality TV show like 30 years ago, I would Google and be like, what were people saying about him? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this shit would pop up.
There's a lot going on with this story. I don't know. It's just so hard because I feel like we're not getting the full truth from anyone.
Yeah. I don't think we need the full truth, though, because at the end of the day, it was he who lied. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, I think where the facts lie is that those twins were his kids. Mm-hmm. His mom even posted being like, you know, my grandson, blah, blah, blah. I think I'm less concerned about the whole truth and knowing exactly, you know, their relationship.
I want to know.
Even though, like, I do kind of want to know for the tea.
Yeah, I'm like, what's happening?
But I think it still says a lot about Tyler that he is a liar.
I agree. And he started off this marriage with Ashley as a lie. I mean, you and I had no doubt in our minds that he was going to say yes at the altar and that Ashley would too, and that they would get married. And had we not known any of the other stuff that's going down on social media, this would be a picture perfect story. Like,
yes,
the star couple of Love is Blind season, what are we on?
season 7.
Season 7. But I don't know, man. It just sucks because watching it, I actually got emotional because I was like, this is so like sweet. And Ashley is such a good person. And I wish Tyler was perfect for her, and I hope he is. But I would love to know what she's thinking right now, having all this come out. Did she know about this in the year that has passed since filming had happened? Or is this all like brand new news to her, like coming out now? You know, I don't know. But either way, I think she's gonna stick by her man.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
But Ashley did break her silence, and she responded to somebody who commented on her post. And basically this person was like, Ashley, tell me you didn't get married, something like along those lines. And she responded and said, do you know him personally to spread such slander about my castmate? I love how she calls him castmate.
It's probably because she couldn't reveal that they got married. That's exactly or are together.
Yes. She goes on to say, regardless of the choice I make, I'll do whatever is best for me, the same way I assume you live your life. Food for thought before I go. Beware of social media and the alleged unauthenticated proof you speak of. I pray that you'll attempt to lead with kindness moving forward.
Oh, man. She's sticking by her man.
100%.
She is sticking by her man, and she is going to defend that man.
She's going to protect him at all costs.
Yeah.
She kind of sounded like me responding to trolls with kindness. I like that. But I mean, like, I just really like Ashley, and I just hope she's happy.
I do like Ashley, but it sucks. It sucks when I think people get clouded by love. I don't blame Ashley for sticking by her man, though, because I think, well, I've been in that position where you kind of, again, see beyond the red flags and you just go into defense mode because you're like in love with someone. And then, you know, it takes you a couple of years to look back and be like, what was I doing?
Yeah, you literally just described me with Shake.
Yeah, like me and Shane.
Yeah, I was in the exact same boat. I think I just wanted to protect him because I cared for him so much.
Same.
And until you're out of that bubble, you don't see it.
And I think that's why I'm revealing things now and continue to, because I'm so mad at myself that I was silent about him and I defended him. And I feel like it's my way of like undoing all of that. Like I still have like some anger in me because Shane took advantage of that for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll have to see at the reunion. What we do know is they're not going to fully address this whole situation. Yeah. Like it's not going to be a Trevor from Love is Blind season 6 where they totally call him out.
Absolutely not.
Do you guys remember that? Where they actually read his text messages with his ex. It's not going to be that way for this reunion based on what we've heard. And that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I feel like this reunion is probably going to be mediocre. I don't think we're going to hear a lot of what we want to know.
Yeah.
But I would love to get Tyler to just like, I just want to ask him every single question that we have and be like, what were you thinking? Tell me what happened.
I know.
I want the honest truth, please.
Guys, should we bring him on Out of the Pods?
I wish, but there's no way Ashley would allow that.
No, she's like, definitely not.
I'd bring Ashley, though. I'd love to have her.
Well, let's get into the actual it couple of this season, Taylor and Garrett. Their backs must be so tired because they carried this season, even though it truly is a boring-ass season.
Yeah. Oh, man. The one thing that I absolutely loved when she was doing her entrance into the venue, which was beautiful, by the way, is she had her grandparents' letters in the box. I was like, why is she so cute? And then her mom giving her the hanky from when she was born. I literally was sobbing. I was like, I need to think of something sentimental like that for my kids already, because how sweet that she kept it for all these years.
Yeah. That's so cute. Okay. You know what's a really weird thing about me is I'm like that. I'm like very sentimental and I save everything for like.
Yeah, she's a hoarder. No, just kidding.
I am a hoarder. Like in my closet, I have 6 shoe boxes filled with everything from my past that I'm just going to save and, you know, share with my children or use on my wedding day. I think it's because my mom is like that.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate like those types of things. And so I love just seeing it happen on screen though. I was like, I want to do that.
It's really
cute. I
want
to do that for my kids.
What's funny is like I have small things like that too, but all my ex-boyfriends are just not a good fit for me. So I'm like, yep. I still have it, but I'm like, I should toss it.
Oh yeah. I still save it. I save every, you know, birthday card, any sort of card I get from my family and friends. Mm-hmm. Even like thank you cards. I'm like, one day, I don't know, it'll be nice to like look back on these. But can I be honest? This is very unpopular for me to say. I'm kind of meh about Garrett.
Why? I really like him.
So I think it's because I really love Taylor's character on the show. Mm-hmm. She's just so wonderful. She's, first of all, beautiful. Like, literally stunning. Just so striking. But she has a wonderful personality. She's funny, vivacious, everything. And I just feel like he's not.
But I think that's where they're a good fit, though, because there's a side of her. Yes, she's absolutely everything that you just described. But she's also like so intelligent. And I think that's what she loves about Garrett so much. He's like a nerd and their humor is very unique. Like it's nerdy humor, intelligent humor. It's witty. I think that's why they fit so well.
I don't know. I just don't see it. And maybe it's because, again, this is a reality TV show and he's not that charismatic character. Mm-hmm. When you think about the men of like the it couples from the previous seasons, like Cameron from season 1, Johnny from season 6, Brett from season 4, even Zach from season 4, I feel like I got such amazing vibes from those men. Like they were mature, they were ready for it. And I just don't get it from Garrett. And I think maybe it's because, you know, I'm a grudge holder.
I knew it. You were still hung up on the pod scene where he's like, what's your ethnicity?
He goes, I only date white girls. Maybe. Maybe.
I knew you were a grudge. I knew it because I was like, what makes you not like Garrett? Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember.
And also, I still don't like the fact that he lied about the text messages and tried to make her feel stupid about being like, well, I don't know the difference between like liking it and like sending a text. I was like, you do, Garrett. You're just trying to confuse her. So anyways, I think that's still in my mind. But I do.
You're such a grudge. I can't. You know, I really like Garrett. Stop tarnishing his name.
You know,
for Taylor's sake, because that's her husband.
It's so crazy how judgmental I am because I've dated some weird ass men. Yeah, and I'm like, Garrett's not good enough for Taylor. And I was like, meanwhile, have you seen my roster of past partners?
Listen, New York boy was not good on that list.
I mean, not only New York boy, but like everyone else.
Yeah, that was just the most recent.
Yeah.
But no, I'm going to wholeheartedly disagree with you. I really, really like Garrett. I think he's such a good fit for Taylor. And he, you know, I don't know why I have a soft spot for Garrett, but I think he's just so like mature and articulate and understands her feelings really well. And I don't know. I like his family a lot.
I like his family, too. I like Taylor's family as well. I love her. I love her parents. And I just love those moments of all the parents on the wedding day. I thought it was so beautiful. And I again, love when you just have a great set of parents
who are just so supportive. That both sets of parents got married on the 13th and they got married on the 13th.
That's crazy.
It is kind of weird.
But you know what's also weird? I was born on the 13th.
Well then.
So it's all just one big circle.
So you're part of the throuple.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is I'm also part of the storyline.
That's why you don't like Taylor with Gary. You want her for yourself.
Now.
Calm down, little one.
Calm down with your theories over there. Anyways, without this couple, this season would be a total bust. So I'm really glad that they were on this season. I did want to ask you, what did you think about her dress? Because there are some differing opinions on the internet.
Okay. People are going to hate me, but I was not a huge fan of the dress.
Same.
But if it's Taylor's style and she loves it, that's all that matters. Like, who am I to say you can't wear something on your wedding day? You know, like,
yeah.
But in my opinion, it's just not something that I would ever wear. But also, like, I'm not going to wear a wedding dress ever. So,
oh,
well, because it's going to be an Indian lehenga.
Oh, I thought you were having this very negative moment.
No.
I was like,
I didn't mean it like that.
I was like, I don't know how to respond.
You're like, okay, change subject.
So I'm not going to lie. I also didn't like it. I feel like most of the internet didn't like it. It wasn't bad or anything. Yeah. I just really liked the dress that she wore during the bridal dress shopping scenes.
Yeah, me too. I thought that was the one that she put on. I didn't realize that it was short in the front. I don't know if they showed the full length.
No, it's not the same dress.
It's not the same dress. Okay, I just thought they shot it only from the waist up. That's why I was like so confused. I thought it was the same one.
So I thought it was the same dress and they altered it. Yeah. But it's actually fully different. Mm. Like everything about it is different. Even what is the piece straps. Of fabric around
the straps,
shoulders, yeah, whatever it is, like it looks different. Even
the neckline
was different, and people are like, maybe a seamstress did it. No, like there's not enough time. From the time we choose our dress to our wedding day, there's only a week.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how I got the fitting done. It was insane.
No, same. But I think I only tried it on once and it didn't really fit. And they were like, well, there's not enough time because you're getting married tomorrow. And I was like, cool.
Dude, yeah, interesting. I wonder if something just didn't work out with that dress or like.
I feel like it's like me where we only had a limited number of options to choose from. And I don't know, they weren't really great. And production only lets you try on 3 or 4 mm-hmm. when you're filming that scene. I remember they were just like, choose one. Like, even if you don't really like one, just like choose one and it's be like, this is it.
Yeah.
And so I just did it for a random one. And then I remember going back to the shop because I was like, I hated the three
when
options.
I remember when you told me that you did. That was the one thing that I was like, thank you, dear Lord, for having an Indian dress. Because I went to that Indian dress shop and like tried on a bajillion. And I picked one of the most expensive ones.
Well, you know what's so crazy, Pod Besties, is the woman who owned the shop is the sister of my dentist.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I was like, wow, we were meant to be friends.
Yeah. Wait, that is kind of random. I mean, Chicago's small, but it ain't that small.
Yeah, and I was like, what? Yeah. As I'm getting my teeth cleaned, he's like, hey, did you know?
He's like, do you guys want to go to dinner?
It was so funny. But overall, I did love their wedding. It was one of my favorite wedding scenes of the franchise.
You know what I think about often? Because as the seasons go on, I feel like the decor and like the venues they choose get so much more beautiful. I wonder if they did a Chicago season now, like where they would choose to film it, because where we went wasn't that great.
It was like an hour and a half outside of the city.
And it was like some random golf course.
My friends couldn't find an Uber back home. It was crazy.
The hotels were terrible.
Yeah. Like I remember they gave us a personal driver to drive us back to the city, mm-hmm. but not for our guests. All production did was like reimburse their Uber rides, but you know, there weren't any Ubers.
Did all your friends go back in the car with you? Because they went back with me.
I tried to stuff as many people into my car.
I was like, get in here.
Yeah, I was like, you guys are going. We're all sitting here.
Yes.
But thankfully, a few of my guests did drive. And I know, like, even Shane's guests had to drive some of my guests back.
Yeah, because wasn't your wedding on a Sunday?
It was on a Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday. Yeah. So they're probably like, gotta go to work tomorrow.
Yeah, so everyone's like, let's go. Yeah. But I'm glad it was on a Sunday versus Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Because yours was on a Thursday.
Mine was
you
on
were the
a Thursday,
last one.
Which is like a little bit better. It's closer to the weekend a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so it's easy for people to take Friday off. Not that they needed to in any
way. Well, I don't know if I should share this, but Danielle and Nick were supposed to be on a Sunday, but we really want to be on a Sunday.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because like
Lord's Day?
Well, no, but like some of our guests cannot take work off because they're in the medical field.
Yeah.
And so we switched and Danielle and Nick were not happy.
Ooh, interesting. See, that's funny because you guys were obviously like almost headed to saying a yes. Like, whereas I think Shake and I knew and I was like, I'm not inviting my friends and making them come out to this.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. I don't think we're saying yes. There's what's the point? So that makes sense for you to have switched it.
Yeah.
How dare you do that to Danielle?
I know. I know. I felt really bad, but then I'm like, you know what? I'd rather just get it over with at this point. Anyways, that concludes our recap of the finale episode of Love Is Blind season 7
of two couples.
Yeah. it was a boring season, but one that was filled with lots of ups and downs. I'm actually very excited about the reunion. The episode comes out this Wednesday. I know it was filmed like about 3 weeks ago. So we know Vanessa and Nick won't be addressing any like new allegations that are happening on social media.
I think they're only going to just bring up the situation where Tyler kept having the three kids, in quotes, from Ashley, and that's about it. So anyways, we'll see. But this whole season was a roller coaster.
Like, yeah.
I can't even remember the couple's names before
this. I know. I think this is going to be like a season five where you could tell it's not being watched by as many viewers as the previous seasons. And so I don't know. I'm very curious how they're going to edit the reunion episode because we've obviously heard some things. We do know that there's going to be LIB alumni there from the other seasons. Leo and Brittany are going to be there.
Woohoo! Who would have thought that Leo would be the least of the villains?
I know. There were so many villains this season. I was just like, just stick to one, okay?
Truly.
And guys, this news is going to make you groan, but they're actually going to go hard on Nick during the reunion. We already shared in last week's recap episode about how Nick told cast members how he's not attracted to Hannah. That is going to be a focal point. So I'm very curious to see how that's going to be edited, how they're going to talk about it, if Hannah is going to be held accountable for the things that she said to Nick. But who knows? But my bet is that Hannah or Brittany is on Perfect Match season 3. And if it's Hannah, they're going to go easy on her. I think they're going to do what they did with Micah on season 4's reunion and also Bartiz on season 3's reunion, where they don't go very hard on them for things that they did on the show because they're prepping them for Perfect Match.
Yeah. Got to create some likable characters for future episodes and seasons of other Netflix shows.
Well, what's very interesting is that they actually cut Zach's mic during the Love is Blind season 4 reunion because he was saying something negative about Micah and they didn't want him to, and they cut his mic.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That was a while. I was like, what happened?
Yeah, like they want to really save her. And again, it was because she was going to be on Perfect Match season 2. So if it's Hannah, I think they'll do the same thing with her. And I have a feeling it's Hannah because Freddie from Love is Blind UK, who is supposedly also on Perfect Match season 3, follows Hannah. Like they follow each other back.
Yeah.
And so I doubt he followed her, you know, after watching the show.
I don't know. He could have just liked her because she...
He's like, I need that type of woman in my life.
I think there is a lot of rumors circulating about them too. But again, you just never know in the reality TV space. There's like so many variables and moving parts. But I feel like it is Hannah on Perfect Match.
We'll just have to see. I would love Brittany though too. So maybe it's both. Who knows? But I'm excited for this week's episode. And obviously we'll recap that. And let us know what you thought about this finale episode. You could DM us on our Instagram page at Out of the Pods, comment on any of our Instagram reels, TikToks, or YouTube videos. We'd love to know your thoughts.
And make sure you guys leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Monday.
And happy Halloween. Bye.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.